For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins the national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Good morning, and welcome into Halftime Monday. Sun shining brightly outside my window here in Hoover, Alabama. I'm Phil Elson in Hoover, Matt Jones at our ESPN Arkansas headquarters. Matt, beautiful day here in whatever portion of Alabama you want to call this, South Central Alabama, Central-ish Alabama, something like that. Baseball start tomorrow in the SEC tournament. The Hogs don't get it going until Wednesday. And a nice weekend. Yesterday was the chillest day of the year. How about yourself?
Yeah, beautiful weekend. What are you, day four of your road trip? Day five? I know you...
Six. Okay. Well, we left Wednesday, so yeah. I think that's six.
Who do we play Wednesday? When, like, do we know yet?
Either Alabama or South Carolina.
They don't want this smoke. They don't. Alabama, they don't want us.
Two teams that should be pretty desperate, I'll tell you that. There's going to be a lot of desperation on the field tomorrow when they do get it started. What's at stake for the Razorbacks this week? Nothing. Really, nothing really, to be honest with you. I don't think there's anything they could do here that could hurt their national seed aspirations or help their national seed aspirations.
Would you think there should be an SEC tournament in the middle of the season then? Because if we're doing it now, like, can we change the date of the tournament then where it can matter, it can do it? Because to me, it's...
Yeah, whatever you got to do to make this
relevant.
Feel like it matters to everybody in it, not just the teams that are fighting to get to the NCAA tournament, but the teams that already know that
opportunity.
They're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I mean, the NBA has found a way to have an in-season tournament that, I mean, did you feel like the players cared about it that much? Didn't the team that, you know, the Lakers won the thing, right? They didn't even, heck.
They won seven games in a row. It was the only time all year they won seven games in a row.
And that, so they obviously must have cared about it very much, but it didn't have anything to do whatsoever in how they played in the postseason when it matters more. You know, I mean, you'll talk often about, you know, it's a chance to raise a banner, and that means that's something to play for. Do you raise a banner of an in-season NBA tournament when you got knocked out in the first round? Who took him out?
It was a play-in game. I don't know that it mattered yet.
Yeah.
It was the play-ins.
That's exactly right. So, I mean, do you even raise a banner inside that building? That's a building that's supposed to just, you know, raise banners for legitimate, real championships, not a play-in tournament or not a new tournament that just started in the middle of a season?
You know, it's something to add to the trophy case. You know, you can add the trophy. I don't know if you put a banner up, but it's the inaugural. It was the first one. I bet in 30 years, you know, when our time's done on this earth, Phil, maybe that tournament means a little more. So
maybe
it was,
so. But you make a valid point, though. I mean, like, this tournament that's about to start tomorrow, this is a great baseball tournament. There's more talent here than there usually is at the College World Series. You know, just because eventually there's going to be SEC teams that lose in the postseason, the 12 teams that are here, I don't even know how many of the guys will get drafted that are just off of these teams alone. You know, in the top five rounds, it's an amazing baseball tournament. But you do have teams, right? Like the I don't think Kentucky, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Arkansas, or even maybe Georgia have anything that they have to worry about here. Georgia, you know, you could be with a fifth national seed out of the Southeastern Conference. Georgia would be that fifth seed, would be that fifth team. And they play tomorrow morning against LSU, so maybe they feel they've got to do something there. But it's the teams that are on the bubble. It's Vandy. It's Ole Miss. It's LSU. It's South Carolina. I don't know if I think all those teams are on the bubble, but they need to start winning some games so that maybe they get a home game in the tournament, or, you know, host a tournament, or they even get a bid. But hey, I like the idea of, I don't know how you do it, but college sports is about to change dramatically in so many ways, Matt. I mean, you already have there's going to be an NIL tournament in basketball in the early portion of the season next year. I don't know why you couldn't have some kind of a mid-season SEC tournament. That would be a funky time to feel for it, but hey, it would be pretty good. Maybe you feel like you get teams buying in more.
Yeah, maybe you could start it off with last year's seeding, and they have it to kick off the regular season. But you're adding OU in Texas as well into the mix. We forget about that. I mean, they're here next year. That's two more first class type of baseball teams.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll find out. I guess tomorrow. Let's see how this all shakes out. I've got my bracket in front of me here. You get Georgia and LSU tomorrow 9:30. I think those teams either are practicing right now or will practice very soon. Alabama and South Carolina start 30 minutes after the conclusion of Georgia-LSU. The Hogs get either Alabama or South Carolina, two teams that they played series against this year, dropping 2 of 3 to the Crimson Tide and winning 2 out of 3 in Columbia against the Gamecocks. Vandy and Florida are game 3. Florida probably needs to win the tournament in order to make it to the NCAA tournament, and then Mississippi State at Ole Miss. Now, State is in, but they're fighting to host a regional, and they probably need to win a few games here in order to have a real case for it. I think that'll be the fifth game that Mississippi State and Ole Miss play against each other. So, and thankfully, for, like, I don't remember what it was like last year. I think the weather was okay last year, but usually the weather sucks every time you come to Hoover. And you could end up with games that get pushed past midnight because of extra innings and rain delays and everything. But now we've got a pitch timer in college baseball. The weather looks good. So, hey, at least for tomorrow through, I think, Thursday, it may not be that crazy of a tournament in terms of some of the like late finishes and worrying about weather.
Well, and that being said, I guess, I mean, every time it's an opportunity to go out there and get better, Phil. Do you change anything up on game one for Arkansas if you're playing South Carolina, Alabama? Are you still starting Hagan Smith? Are you not?
Not Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
That's the thing that's so wild about this is that you have some teams that they got to win, like, today in order to make it, or they got to win tomorrow to make it to Wednesday. You know, it's single elimination tomorrow to double elimination Wednesday and Thursday, and nobody can pitch their main guys. They can't.
You can't
pitch your ace. Yeah. Nobody will pitch their ace until Thursday at the latest. Maybe Wednesday, I guess, because he had a series that started Thursday. The Hogs aren't in that position, though. I think what's important for this week is to get Brady Tigard on the mound at some point. I don't know what role he'll have, whether it'll be a starter or in relief, but to get him out there and to just to get him pitching again after a week of not inactivity, just not pitching, and to get him maybe where it looked like Molina finished Friday's game. You know, you got Molina back out there as a reliever on Friday, and he sent all nine batters down in the win that clinched the division for the Razorbacks. So, you know, I think those are the two most important things, making sure that both of those guys are ready to pitch in the postseason in whatever role you've got them planned for. And that'll be really interesting, you know, seeing the decisions that are made about this, because Gage Wood, Matt, on Friday was terrific as a starting pitcher.
I'm telling you, when I saw them, I love Molina coming out, being that guy to get somebody out in those last three, four, five, six outs, whatever. Just the way he went about it, I feel like maybe that's a better role for him. And then Gage Wood, I think you can put him in any role that you want to put him in, and he's going to be successful.
I think so, too. I do. I agree. You know, hopefully get Kendall Diggs some at-bats so he can, you know, try to get in a better place for the start of the postseason. And then, you know, I'm just going to look forward to sitting around watching some good games. I love the atmosphere at the Hoover Met. You know, you get all these fan bases that are coming together around the same time. It's a cool ballpark, at least for the tournament that holds it. And man, at some point I should get the sun-kissed and ice cream sandwich thing going on. I just remembered about that. My favorite snack up in the press area where you get your ice cream sandwiches and your sun-kissed. Now I'm already starting to drool. Yesterday, though, Matt, it really was. Like, yesterday is out of the 306. Was this year a leap year? It is, isn't mm-hmm. it? Out of the 366 days of the year, May the 19th will be the absolute chillest day of the entire year for me. Like, the only reason I even left the hotel was to go to the AA game downtown. I took Oliver with me. He's the SID for baseball. And that's just because it's a tradition. I'll go to the Sunday game when we come here because there's nothing else to do. But for the guys, like, they don't have any transportation. You know, maybe they can get an Uber or something like that, but they don't have any transportation. None of the other teams are in the hotel yet. They're in the Hyatt Regency, so I think there's eight or nine teams that stay there. There's the mall next door, but it's closed until noon. It legitimately is. There's no classes to worry about. You don't have to, you know, maybe you guys can wake up and go find a church. They got to get an Uber in order to do it. It's just, I would say May the 19th is the absolute chillest day of the year.
Well, that's
then it ain't going to be much chiller than that for the rest of this year.
Yeah, that's pretty cool because May the 19th, Man City became the first team to win four consecutive titles in the Premier League. You had two NBA Game 7s on May 19th that were won by the road team, the Indiana Pacers, the depleted Knicks. That was a no-brainer.
I watched the Nuggets and the T-Wolves yesterday, and I thought it was going to turn into a really, you know, exciting, quiet, close fourth quarter, but Denver just couldn't score.
Well, it's you take the number one defense in all the lands, and that's what you get to go to war with. You know, it's kind of the Sophie's choice. Do you want the number one offense or the number one defense? You look at football, baseball, basketball, these main sports. Minnesota's got the number one defense, and they held Denver. I would have bet your money, Phil, and I know you're like, keep your hands off my money, Matt, but like, I would have bet Denver would score more than 14 points in a quarter. And that, I mean, that was just locked down. They flipped a switch. They made them uncomfortable, and it was, I couldn't believe, like, you couldn't believe, after you watched that first half and seeing Denver up 15 and just doing whatever they want, and then to come out and Minnesota flip the script, it was wild. May 19th to go down in sports history, two row team game sevens, you know, kicking the bucket.
Well, and for the T-Wolves, too, I mean, they were down 20. Wasn't it like, just like a 40-point swing?
58-38 in the third quarter at one point.
That's wild to be able to pull that off on the road.
Stunned.
Against the champions, the team that knew how to, that won the games they needed to.
It looked like Hillary Clinton's, you know, win party when she got beat by Donald Trump, you know, that the election, how she was winning the whole time. And you remember seeing the photos after it, and everybody's like, what just happened? Up until 10:30 at night, she was winning, and then boom, it's like, oh, realization set in.
They have some pantsuits inside the ball arena too. They must have. Out of the 18,000 people there, however many people there, there's a couple pantsuits.
I wouldn't put it past a Russell Westbrook to wear a pantsuit into it, walking in. Yeah,
it would be shorts though. Yeah. It wouldn't
suspenders
be pants.
Too. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Now I don't know fashion very well, but I think it would be shorts. Maybe even with things to hold your socks up, the suspenders to hold
stirrups,
your socks up.
Yeah.
Stirrups. Yeah, that's what that's called, isn't it?
Hickey and Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in MENA and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hull Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
I'm going to try this stuff for the first time. Matt, I like coconut water, but I bought this stuff that's called the pressed coconut water. It's supposed to have that extra coconutty taste. Some people don't do the coconut water. I even like the stuff that's got the pulp in it. You know, the little bits of coconut. What
now,
do you feel about
orange
this?
Juice has to be with a little pulp. Yes, 100%. Now, coconut water, can't you get the same thing out of eating a banana? Isn't that the same
coconut out of a banana?
Well, isn't that the same concept, what it does for your body, the things that's healthy for you? I'd rather eat a banana.
Ooh, that is an extra coconutty flavor. And, you know, there's a major difference between the non-pressed and the pressed coconut water. Look at this stuff, Matt.
You got to just carry that around. If somebody gets, you can just throw it at somebody. Absolutely. That's a weapon.
Looks like, yeah. Looks like milk or, you know, something else that I don't know if I'd drink. It definitely has the coconutty flavor.
That's got to be healthy for you, too. I mean, it looks healthy.
If you can't see through it, it must be good for you.
Like that, you eat a banana and some Greek yogurt and some coconut water, and then you'll be on your way.
Read some folks on the text line asking about Cooper Dossett and his arm injury. I know he's got an MRI that's coming up today. So outside of that, I don't know what the deal is with him, but the way that he had to get off the mound on Saturday, it did not look good. So I wouldn't count on seeing Cooper anytime soon. So, but nothing's official because he hasn't had the MRI yet. A couple callers on hold. Let's take the calls. Hey, before we do that, Matt, I just wanted to double check with you. The thing I was talking about going into the break, and I'm not trying to be dismissive to fans that have concerns about the team, but I will be dismissive towards anybody that treats a regular season division championship as if it doesn't mean anything.
It's just we're spoiled. It's we've been doing it so long, I think, and we're dissecting hairs here where we won a national championship. We're at the top, it seems like, and we just can't get over the hump. I think it's greatness. I mean, you got to be thankful because it's not going to be like this forever.
Yeah, maybe the idea of spoiled is attached to it, because if you've had a baseball team that hasn't won anything in a long time and then you win a division, you'd treat it a little differently. You know, when they won the game on Friday, they didn't celebrate. They celebrated as if they won a big game. Uh-huh. You know, they just kind of came out of the dugout. They looked really happy. They shook hands. They slapped five. They did a little bit of yelling, but there was no... You know, you couldn't feel like it was any other win. It was just like any other road win.
So you're saying Mississippi State celebrated a home run more than the Hogs celebrated a West?
Absolutely. Yeah.
See, but I dig it because they know it's a business trip. That's what you want out of the fellas. You know, it's awesome. You look back on it, but they know the goal, the mission's not done yet.
There's a video that the guys from Pig Trail Nation did. I know a couple of them were at A&M, and so they had their camera in the camera well when Hudson White hit his go-ahead home run in the eighth inning. And to me, this is just this is one of my favorite differences between Arkansas and like almost any other program in the country. It's an eighth inning go-ahead home run where if you win the game, you win the division. They all stayed in the dugout. I mean, they were celebrating in the dugout.
That's
they
fine.
Were,
yeah.
They were happy about it. It's not like they were all stone-faced. But they stayed in the dugout, and they let the guys who had scored runs come into the dugout, and Hudson White comes down the dugout stairs, and then they start celebrating with him. They didn't do it out of the dugout. They didn't boom a home run. I thought it was gorgeous.
I'm all for if a guy gets a double and you look back and y'all got some type of cheer that you're going on celebrating, get triple, same thing. I'm all for that. That seems to be celebrating the right way.
Greg from Farmington is on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Hey, doing great, guys. Congratulations to the Hog West Division champions. And like you say, that just a reflection of the leadership. They were there. They were there for business. No carrying on. No acting goofy like the other dugout. They were there to get a job done, and they did. You were talking about NASCAR. You know, Steinhaus and Busch have both been known to be hotheads and jerks. I remember one race early in his career, I believe it was Vegas, Busch won the race, and he got this beautiful custom-painted guitar. What's the guy do? He smashes it right there on the stage. So I'm all for letting Steinhaus and Busch put them in a steel cage, let them go at it, and whoever walks out, walks out. I'm out of here. Have a great week.
Celebrity death match. We could get the clay animation. We need to bring that back, right? That would be gold.
Celebrity NASCAR death match.
Ooh, even better. Can they bring their cars as weapons or any member from the pit crew and some type of ammunition from the pit crew?
I say we get these two guys, Busch and Steinhaus, as the undercard to Jake Paul, Mike Tyson. Get them trained. I mean, you got another 2 months until the fight. Get them training. They'll put on a really good show. Heck, you could even do a tag team. Busch can choose whomever he wants, and Steinhaus can have his father there. Because he went after Busch harder than he did.
Some animosity going on there. I wonder what the underlying current is.
Has there ever been a tag team boxing match? And if no, why has there not? Why can we do tag team wrestling but not do tag team boxing? Anybody that can explain a reason for that, I'll be very appreciative. Cabbage Head is with us here, and I don't know if you can explain to me, Cabbage Head, why there's never been tag team boxing, but go for it, or maybe you got something else on your mind.
Well, no, not. I don't know much about boxing, and for sure not as much as you and Matt know about the boxing deal, but now the pulp.
I don't know. I really don't know much about boxing at all anymore, Cabbage Head. It's been a minute since I watched very closely, so be careful.
No, I tell you what, as I told you last week, you guys do great at what you do, and I really enjoy listening to you when you give the baseball because you're so pay attention to little things that some people don't, you know. But I've told you what a good job you do, and just keep doing it. A couple things. Orange juice with pulp, man, that's the only way to go. And if you've ever do y'all like lemonade?
Too much sugar for me, but yeah, if you want to cut it with some unsweet tea.
I can drink lemonade any way it comes, whether it comes electric or non-electric.
Well, if you want the absolutely best lemonade, you'll go to Chick-fil-A and get some of theirs because it's real. I asked Dr. Edwards yesterday. We went out to dinner, and his son owns one in Nashville. And he said they have a machine that you punch the lemons in up top, and it comes down, and it actually makes the lemonade out of lemons. That's why it tastes so good. You know, I mean, but I might buy a gallon, and I might do that, Arnold Palmer thing, half and half tea, you know. But they have a real good product. The other thing, you guys might have to, I know you're awful good at what you do, but you may have to put your thinking cap on, you may not. But I was having a conversation yesterday with the play as far as the Razorbacks baseball team was when all three of them run over there by first base and they looking at each other and they let the ball hit the ground. Was that shortstop player, did he run over there, and then the right field player, and then I don't know if it was the pitcher, but the shortstop, if that was him, he should have never come over there. But they
are you talking about
him.
Cabbage Head? I'm a little confused. Are we talking about the 2018 famous pop up foul ball or a different play?
Yeah. If we had just caught that ball, we'd have won the whole thing.
Yeah, you know? No, I remember that. There was exactly a play that was almost exactly like it in the eighth inning Friday's game, where the second baseman, the first baseman, and the right fielder are chasing a pop up in foul territory. Kendall Diggs made the diving catch on Friday that probably we were hoping to see Eric Cole make in 2018. That's the right fielder's ball. It's the right fielder's got to be aggressive going after a pop fly that's that far up the right field line. And yeah, I thought about it the moment I saw Kendall Diggs make that catch. I'm sure there were a lot of other fans that remembered that moment when they saw it as well. A text here from Daniel in Uniontown. He says he's not being dismissive of winning a division or a conference championship, but when you've been at this level for so long without a national title, it sucks. Now, and I understand that, Daniel, you're coming from your perspective here. Your perspective is not the same perspective as the guys that are playing on the team and as the coaches. Every team is different. You know, fans stay the same. You stay the same now from you were a fan from however long you've been. Each team is different. The 2018 team through 2024, these are all different groups. And so they deserve their adulation isn't the word, or they just deserve their credit for winning this division independently of anything else that happens throughout this season, what these guys have accomplished this year. And I'm just talking within the context of those players wearing this uniform. It's a much different group of players that were playing last year, which is a heck of a lot different than the group that played in 2021, so on and so forth. This to me also, I mean, it helps confirm sometimes that I feel like when we're fans of a team, we're rooting for ourselves in some cases. You want the joy of the national title and the celebration that goes along with it. I don't think you're dismissive of the division title, but you're saying it sucks. Well, it sucks. Yes, it does. But it's like, okay, well, it sucks you haven't won the national title. But is that on this year's team? Is that on this year's guys that they're the ones that are ultimately responsible for giving you the joy of a national title? I just think every team is different. One year doesn't mean the next year is the same. Yes, I mean, it's probably the same way that a lot of Braves fans felt, but they did win their one World Series. You know, Buffalo Bills fans had to have obviously feel a certain way. Does that take away the accomplishment of making it to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row? No. And each team is different. That's the only way that I can put it. These guys are not the 2018 team. They're not the 2019 team. They're not even the 2023 team. And they deserve the credit of a division championship when they earn it.
Eastside Liquor has every alcohol you need as we get close to summer. Green River Bourbon and Rye is flying off the shelves right now. Come check out the new Crystal Ridge Moonshine and Vodka, made right here in Hot Springs. Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts.
Time to hit up our only guest on this Monday on Halftime. We've got Mike Irwin with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline from Pig Trail Nation. Mike, what's new, man? How you doing? Welcome back to work.
I've been back a week, but it's all right. You know, we're now in postseason for baseball officially. A&M series was interesting. Friday night game, man, you got your fastest guy at third base. What inning was it? I can't even remember. Ninth, tenth, something. You got your fastest guy at third base, one out, can't get him home. Maybe your best hitter strikes out. He had a ball, I think, by White, hit to the fence, another foot higher, and it's a home run. And then you bring in McIntyre in the 11th, two outs. He's got to get one guy out with the bases loaded, and he walks in the winning run. So now you're in a pickle.
But they did come back and win game two. Game three was interesting because when the Aggies put that game out of reach, Dave Van Horn explained that he's not going to waste any pitching at that point. So they run rule Arkansas. They go bonkers into stadium. I got the sound down because I don't listen to TV games with the sound up. So I don't know what's going on. I find out later their 12th man guy, I guess, got up and got the base hit that gave them the 10-run lead. And so they went bonkers. And my only reaction to that is going all the way back to when I was 8 or 9 years old, I've always been aware that the Aggies' traditions are more important to them than actually winning anything because they finished fourth overall, second in the West, and by then finishing fourth, because of the way it worked out with the other games, they're actually the four seed in the same side of the bracket with Tennessee, who I think is the best team in the SEC right now. So it was just a weird weekend the way it all worked out.
Yeah, that was Ryan Targoch, who was wearing number 12. He'd been their starting second baseman 2 years in a row and then, you know, pushed out of a job this year. And he was the one who had – and I have trouble calling it a game-winning hit when all it does is get you the run rule exactly. Victory. But that is why they had exploded. I'll say this. Now, look, Mike, they're not playing in any hostile atmospheres anymore because any postseason games will either be played at Baumwalker Stadium or – In Omaha, where, you know, we call it Baumwalker North with all the Razorback fans that show up. But coming back on Friday after a heartbreaking loss in front of that crowd, I think A&M is the toughest place to play in the SEC outside of maybe Baum, because these fans are right on top of you. They're into every single pitch. And they're good baseball fans. I didn't like that they were still doing their ball five chant when it was obvious Cooper Dawson was hurt. But that's a really difficult place to play. They have a real home field advantage there.
Well, I don't know. They do that. What is that thing they're doing? Are they trying to put a hex on you, like bring down evil spirits on the pitcher when they do that thing with their fingers?
Yeah, they were doing that to McIntyre. That's right. They were putting a voodoo on him or something.
Well, they did that the entire Friday game, and it was how many pitchers? Six Arkansas pitchers go 10 2/3 innings, and it doesn't work, and it finally works on McIntyre, I guess. So they're persistent, I will say that. The big question now is, what does Dave Van Horn do for the conference tournament? Because now they got a Wednesday game, they got a Thursday game. I don't know. You could pitch Gage Wood if you want on 4 days rest and just have him go, you know, 30, 40 pitches. You could go with Hagen Smith with 5 day rest, the same thing. Or you could pitch Tiger, who's been off a week and a half. I do think they probably want to try to win a couple of games there. And then after that, if you win those two games, I don't think you play again till Saturday. And then it doesn't really matter that much. But I don't know. It's intriguing. It'll be interesting. And I haven't seen that he's announced his pitchers yet. Maybe he has, and I haven't looked at the internet. But that's what's interesting to me.
Hey, Mike, who is the who would be the best matchup? Who would you like to see us play, either Alabama or South Carolina?
Oh, South Carolina. Alabama has just kind of lately been kind of a tough team for Arkansas to play sometimes when it made no sense, like this year. So, yeah, I definitely go with South Carolina.
Well, what's at stake for Arkansas in this week? Anything? What do you think this tournament means for them? And, look, I know some people will be like, just don't get hurt and come home. And if that's your answer, fine. But, well, I mean, what is important this week?
Well, with their strength of schedule, I really don't think they get knocked out of a top eight seed, even if they went 2 and out. I could be wrong, but I don't think they would. So what is at stake? I think there's a lot more at stake with what they could gain at the plate. I think that's what you look at. You know, they continue to try to get Kendall Diggs going. I mean, he's just so valuable out in right field. You got to play him. So maybe he comes through. Does Hudson White continue to be hot? Because he is hot. I got to tell you guys, I had to call my Texas Tech buddies after that win and go, hey, guess who made that win happen? Molina and White. And they're like, because Tech has gone to seed, man. They backed into the Big 12 tournament by a rainout, and they're probably going nowhere in postseason. So that was interesting to see that thing happen. But, again, I think they've got more to gain. Maybe
somehow if you pitch McIntyre, and he's trying to get McIntyre back some confidence, maybe if something happened in Birmingham that would help help him with his pitching. But I really think what you can gain there is hitting. You know, you just got to continue to work on some guys. Again, I mean, everybody's a critic, but you look at that 1-0 loss and you just think to yourselves, maybe Baton Stovall bunts there instead of strikes out swinging. I don't know, but I don't want to say home runs aren't important, and I understand why they swing for the fences sometimes, but it just seems like sometimes they don't need that. But I don't know what they'll do, what their approach will be, but I do think you have more to gain probably just by if your hitting gets a little bit better in Birmingham than your pitching, because I think the pitching is fine. I think what happened in that weekend series against Mississippi State was it wasn't normal. I don't think it translated to anything. I thought their pitching was fine in College Station.
Hey, Mike, give me a winner. Who wins the SEC baseball tournament this year?
I think Tennessee. They're really hot right now, and I like their side of the bracket. I think the Aggies got the booby prize by being placed on their side of the bracket. So I'd go with Tennessee. I don't think Dave Van Horn is going to go all out trying to win the SEC baseball tournament. I just don't think he'll do that.
Softball ended a lot earlier than I think any of us would have expected. 0-2 in the home regional. It's disappointing because a couple of years ago you were that close to making it to Oklahoma City, and last year lost in a home regional. This year, 2 and out, which just it doesn't feel good. Well, not 2 and out. I know they won the first game, but to lose the last two, 1-2 in the home regional just felt like a little bit of backsliding this year.
Yeah, they were the only regional host that didn't make it, to the regional finals. And look, it was a 2-2 game against Villanova in the fourth. They just tied it up in the top of the fourth. And you got two outs. You got Linestock pitching, your best pitcher. You got two outs in that inning, but two on, and then a 2-RBI double. Stretched it out 4-2, and they ended up scoring 5 straight runs and won it easy 7-2. They sort of, to me, were like an exaggerated version of Arkansas. They didn't hit well. And so they had to rely on their pitching, and their pitching sometimes wasn't good, like in this game. And when it isn't, you got no chance because you get 6 hits in that game. You can't overcome that if your pitching is not good. So I do think they need to go out and get some hitters. I know they've landed one of the top hitting coaches in the country, and I've had people tell me he did make a difference with some of these ladies. But they got to recruit. I don't know, but. 2 years ago, Dyfel was probably one of the most highly regarded young coaches on campus, and now people are starting to get mad. That's expectations. That's what that does for you. No more, the softball team is not at a point now where people are going to go, at least we got a regional. They want to do something. And, there was a lot of grumbling, especially on the Internet, and the attendance wasn't very good either. Now, they did go up against Arkansas for part of that game, but the baseball team, but it was over toward by the time that game really got going good. So I don't know what the issue there is, but I think the interest in softball has dropped off a little bit, and those that are interested in it are kind of getting a little frustrated.
Wow, that's interesting. I guess you always want to feel like there's positive momentum, you felt a little bit of that last year, even winning an SEC baseball championship but losing in a home regional. It's just that's what people will take away, And I try to, in the first hour, I tried to just like, I hate the insulting attitude of, a West Division championship doesn't mean anything, with the understanding that, yes, your season is defined by what happens in the postseason, and that goes for basketball, and that goes for baseball. But you still have to, I think the guys who wear the uniform deserve the respect of, they're not the same team that was there last year. It's not the same team from 2 years ago. Each year is different, and they should be treated with the proper respect of, great season right now, guys. Division champions. I think it's the toughest thing to do in college sports, really, is to win the SEC West.
Well, the consistency that Van Horn has shown with this team, and then you got to ask yourself, what do fans value the most? Do they value that consistency, or do they want to be an Ole Miss who finally wins a national championship, but then the bottom falls out after that? You know, I think you want to get greedy, and you want both. You want continued success, but you want to win it all. Somebody was asking me if this was Van Horn's best coaching job, and I said, well, there's no way to evaluate that right now because postseason has a lot to do with that. And I go back to 2 years ago when they didn't get their own regional. And then the job that he and that team did, you know, to win in Stillwater, to go to North Carolina and then make the College World Series field, and to get one win against Ole Miss, who ended up winning the whole thing. I think they lost a chance to get into the championship series like 2-0, something like that. So to me, that was a great coaching job. I don't think the script has been written yet on this year. It's been kind of up and down. You know, everybody's mad about the hitting, happy with the pitching. Now the pitching, as you get into the part of your schedule where you're playing better teams, the pitching isn't quite what it was. But, again, you win the West. That's important. Now let's see what happens. And a lot of that has to do with who's in your regional field and who's on the other side if you win a regional and play in a super. So, again, I don't evaluate DVH right now. I wouldn't do it. I would wait till the year was over.
Mike, we'll leave it there. Appreciate you hopping on with us. Thanks for your time. We're off next week, so we'll talk in a couple weeks, okay?
Okay, hopefully good news by then.
That's right.
Thanks, Mike.
All right.
Mike Irwin, Pig Trail Nation, with us each Monday, at least when it's not, you know, Memorial Day.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Back on Halftime, Phil Elson, Matt Jones, the C-Unit producing, 877-377-6963 to get with us here on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Oh, Greg in Farmington says, yeah, Michael Caine was in Jaws 4. I'd forgotten about that. One of the all-time great actors.
Sir Michael Caine.
That it would be a sir to you and me. Roy Scheider was in the original Jaws, and who's forgetting some of the actors from that movie. You've seen Jaws, right, Matt? We're trying to see. You haven't seen it, no? You'd never go to the beach again if you did.
I've not. Well, you know, mine is I dress like a beekeeper anyways when I go to the beach. So
I'll still go.
I like the trade winds. I mean, the breeze is just the breeze you get on the beach. It can be a beautiful thing.
Dreyfuss, Richard Dreyfuss. That's the guy that I, for some reason, wasn't remembering all of a sudden. Mr. Holland, who is also in this is in my top five. And, you know, my top five will change all the time. But Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Yeah, he was the star in that one. Yeah, Jaws is worth your time. Robert Shaw's in it. The scene where Shaw, spoiler alert, the captain of the main ship gets eaten by the shark. Okay, the movie came out in 1975. It's okay for me to say this. It's older than I am. And Robert Shaw was the captain, and he dies a good death. It's a really good death. C Unit, if you got a thing for good deaths in movies, Robert Shaw's movie in Jaws would be worth your time, too. Just trying to figure out something for him to watch this weekend. I'd forgot about this, too, because he died recently. Was it recently? Scheider died in Little Rock. I don't exactly know why he was there. Let's see. Where else could this tournament be played? Everybody always says, why do we have to hold this thing in Hoover all the time? Like, really, like there really isn't anything wrong with Hoover. It's just not. It's not a glorious ballpark with the bells and the whistles. So the Big Ten plays their baseball tournament this year in Omaha at Charles Schwab, which is the site of the College World Series. I mean, so that's bells and whistles right there for them. So also, not many of those teams make it to the College World Series, so it's their one chance to play at that stadium. You know, some of the other conference tournaments, like I don't know where the Big 12 is this year. Sometime they play it in Oklahoma City. Sometime it's in Arlington at the Ranger Stadium. I think eventually, and something tells me that the SEC may have potentially tried to kick the tires on playing the tournament at the Rangers ballpark. I mean, the Rangers have shown they want college baseball there, but they want it there in March or February. You know, they already announced Arkansas will play the second weekend of the season next year in Arlington. I think they're going to play there every year until the end of time. So maybe that's a place that could do it. You know, Houston might fit if they're interested in a postseason tournament. But part of this is you got to convince the people who run these stadiums to host you. And you're paying them a lot of money and everything, but the logistics that go into it, because usually these ballparks have tenants, right? Like, who plays at Memphis? Yeah, you want to play the SEC championship there. There's a triple A team that plays there. The Rangers obviously play in Arlington. I just don't think it's as easy as saying, well, we got to do this, so let's do it. No one else plays in Hoover. They can treat this as if it is the SEC's baseball park, and it is. It is maintained for two things, for Hoover High football and for the SEC baseball championship, and that is it. And I think that there's some value in that.
Well, and I was going to ask, when does the contract run out? Is there a new venue in mind, or is it still going to continue to be at Hoover?
I think they had just recently re-upped the contract. I don't remember how long, but the basketball tournaments, heck, they've got that in Nashville, I think, through 2030. So they scheduled that out pretty long. You know, the SEC women's tournament is in Greenville, South Carolina, and I think you got another at least 3 or 4 years on that schedule. Now, there's reasons, I think, outside of that it's within the SEC's footprint for hosting those tournaments there. You have the basketball tournament in Nashville because it's right there by Kentucky. I mean, it's like I talked with Bub about this earlier today on Bases Loaded. There are some teams, some programs that just treat the SEC tournament as if it means a ton, that we are coming here to win this. LSU baseball is one of those teams because their fans show up here like nobody else. There will be 10,000 LSU baseball fans at their game tomorrow morning at 9:30. They will be there, and they always are there. It's like the Kentucky fans show up at the SEC tournament, Matt. I think that's one of the reasons they place it there. Yes, nice city, big league arena, but it's easier for the Kentucky fans to get there. Why is the women's tournament held in Greenville, South Carolina? It's a short drive from from the campus of South Carolina. It's not far from Tennessee. You know, I mean, they can show up and make it really easy to do it. And I think that they host the baseball tournament in Hoover partially because it's that close to where some fan bases will travel from. Baton Rouge, Oxford, Starkville. You know, Arkansas gets some fans that show up, but it is a lengthier drive from Fayetteville. So we want the tournament to move. I just don't know if it's going to happen anytime soon.
Where's, you know, the Grapefruit League, the Cactus League, where these minor league teams go for spring training? I mean, is there like a facility like that could be used? Like Orlando, don't they have a couple ballparks maybe you could use it down there?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know what the ballpark setup is like in Orlando, but you could potentially do something like that. It's just that those ballparks are usually used then by a single A team.
Okay.
That is like owned by the major league team. And so
I didn't know they were in proximity. Like if you had four of them close to each other, and
they're all close by.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I would figure you could pull some sort of a tournament in the Cactus League ballparks because it's closer than a lot of the Grapefruit League parks. JT in Hot Springs does point this out, that the Mississippi Braves Stadium is vacant after this year. That's the double A affiliate of the Braves in Pearl, Mississippi, right outside Jackson. And they're moving. They're moving to Columbus, Georgia next year. So there's going to be a ballpark that's just wide open there waiting for something. And I don't know if they've got anything planned for it. So rather than it go to the weeds, maybe they'll try to make a bid for the SEC tournament. Now, that's the other aspect of it. They have to make a bid for it, too. And it would have to be the City of Pearl that would make a bid for it. And there's more that goes into that. I mean, you've got to get the police have to get involved in this. Like, every team, when they get bused to the ballpark, and the park's only like an 8 or 9 minute drive away, they all get the police escort. So it has to go in with it. It's not just opening a stadium. It's any of the hotels that are nearby. It's the police that are involved in it as well. And it just seems like it's a little easier than, or a little more difficult than we think it is. But I also have a sense that I think the SEC really likes to play the tournament here in Hoover. I think the offices like to play it here. I don't really think that the coaches mind very much either. So I think we're going to be here for a while. But I do wonder about the lack of divisions now. So, I mean, I'm trying to push, Matt, the idea that a division championship means something inside a league that obviously doesn't care if they're divisions or division champions either in any of the sports. We've done away with it in football for this next year. There will not be divisions any longer in baseball. And I just wonder who made the decision about this. I can see the reasoning for football. I don't see the reasoning for baseball at all with 30 games. Like, I didn't even ask Dave about it, about, you know, I mean, was there a vote by the coaches? He wasn't even sure about it. He was vocal about his disapproval of doing away with divisions, but I don't think anybody listened to him. It just doesn't seem like it was a decision made by baseball people. Mr. Pibb wants the tournament to be played in Grayson Park in Savannah, Georgia, which would probably be the oldest park to host a college tournament. Hey, I saw... the Ivy League tournament, Matt, had to move. They were playing in New York City at Columbia's Field, and Columbia's Field is all turf. Even the pitcher's mound is turf, just like Vanderbilt. Well, after all this time, I don't know the last time they'd replaced the turf there, there's a tear in the turf on the pitcher's mound where the pitcher's foot lands. You can't have that. Now, if you had a regular field, or even just a field that Kentucky has that's artificial except for the mound and the dirt, and the mound is clay, you can rebuild it. You can dig out a little spot where there's a hole, and you can put more clay back in there and put more clay back in there over and over, and then tamp it down, and it's ready to go. You can't fix an artificial mound unless you get somebody with some severe sewing skills. So they had to move. They had to move the rest of the Ivy League tournament from New York City to where I think it's called Montclair College plays in New Jersey at Yogi Berra Stadium. So, you know, you don't have to worry about that here in Hoover. This is, outside of Baum Walker, this is the most perfectly manicured field in the SEC, and nobody's played on it except for Hoover High. So that goes into it too. You get a perfectly manicured field because hardly anybody plays on this place.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.